Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe. And if you're into chips, silicon, and all the hardware that's powering the AI revolution, you are absolutely in the right place. Quick shout out to our sponsors before we dive in. Limitless AI, helping businesses actually integrate AI into their workflows in ways that make sense. And Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting. All right, we've got a packed episode today. We're talking the NVIDIA versus AMD stock debate heading into 2026, a sneaky smart fund that's betting on data centers instead of chips, U.S. export restrictions shaking up the market, custom AI chips threatening to eat NVIDIA's lunch, and yes, actual chip smuggling. Let's get into it. Okay, so our first story comes from The Motley Fool, and it's one of those classic head-to-head matchups that the investment world loves, NVIDIA versus AMD, which is the better AI chip stock heading into 2026. Now, I know this show is about hardware. Not stock tips, but the financial narrative around these two companies tells us a lot about where the industry actually thinks the technology is going. So let's unpack it. NVIDIA right now is essentially the undisputed heavyweight champion of AI accelerators. Their H100 and H200 GPUs, and now the Blackwell architecture, have become the default infrastructure for training and running large language models. When you hear about a hyperscaler spinning up a massive AI cluster, there's a very good chance the majority of those accelerators have a green logo on them. AMD, on the other hand, has been working incredibly hard to close the gap. Their Instinct MI300X has gotten some genuinely strong reviews in terms of raw memory bandwidth, and that matters a lot for inference workloads where you're constantly loading and unloading massive model weights. Think of it like this: if training a model is like building a house, inference is like living in it. And for living in it, you need fast access to everything, which is where memory bandwidth becomes king. AMD has a real argument there, but here's the thing Motley Fool is really getting at. NVIDIA's moat isn't just the hardware. It's CUDA, it's the software ecosystem that's been built up over nearly two decades. Developers know it, frameworks are optimized for it, and switching costs are enormous. AMD has ROCm, their open alternative, and it's gotten much better. But it's still playing catch-up. From a pure hardware innovation standpoint, though, 2026 is going to be fascinating. We'll likely see AMD push harder on the MI400 series, and NVIDIA will be deep into Blackwell deployments and probably teasing whatever comes next. The Motley Fool piece leans NVIDIA for the safer bet given that ecosystem lock-in, but acknowledges AMD could surprise if enterprise adoption of their stack accelerates. For us hardware folks, the real story is just how competitive this space has become, and competition is always good for innovation. All right, story two is a really interesting one from 24/7 Wall Street, and the headline kind of says it all. Forget the AI chip makers. This fund owns the companies building the data centers. The fund they're talking about charges just 0.47% in fees, and instead of betting on NVIDIA or AMD directly, it focuses on the picks and shovels play the companies that build, power, cool, and connect the massive data centers that run all this AI infrastructure. And honestly, from a hardware perspective, this is a narrative that doesn't get nearly enough attention. Everyone talks about GPUs, and GPUs are obviously critical. But a GPU sitting in a box with no power, no cooling, no networking, and no physical building to live in is just an expensive paperweight. The data center infrastructure story is enormous. We're talking about companies involved in things like liquid cooling systems, because air cooling simply cannot keep up with the thermal output of a rack full of H100s. A single NVIDIA DGX H100 system can consume around 10 kilowatts. Now imagine thousands of those in a single facility. The heat management challenge is genuinely staggering. There are also the hyperscale real estate investment trusts, companies that literally own and operate the buildings. Then you've got power infrastructure players, because one of the biggest bottlenecks in AI expansion right now is actually electrical grid capacity. Some data centers are being planned with their own dedicated power generation. We're talking small modular reactors being seriously considered as on-site power sources. That is not science fiction, that's happening now. And networking, the interconnects between GPUs inside a cluster, are just as important as the GPUs themselves. InfiniBand, Ethernet at 400 gig and 800 gig speeds, optical transceivers, all of that is a massive industry. So this fund thesis is essentially saying, no matter who wins the GPU wars, the infrastructure still has to be built. It's a smart, hardware-grounded investment thesis, and I think it reflects a really mature understanding of what actually makes AI compute possible at scale. Story 3 is one that's been developing for a while but is hitting hard this week. USAI chip export restrictions are expected to put real pressure on NVIDIA and AMD share prices, and Yahoo Finance has a solid breakdown of what's happening. So let's talk about what these export controls actually mean from a hardware standpoint, because there's a lot of noise in the financial press, but the technical implications are really important. The U.S. government has been tightening restrictions on which AI chips can be exported to certain countries, primarily China, because advanced AI accelerators are considered dual-use technology. Meaning they can be used for commercial AI applications, but they can also be used for military modeling, nuclear simulations, code breaking, all kinds of national security relevant compute tasks. NVIDIA actually created modified versions of some of their chips specifically to comply with earlier export rules. The A800 and H800 were essentially performance limited versions of the A100 and H100 designed to fall just under the regulatory thresholds. But the rules have kept tightening, and those workarounds have been closed off. Now for NVIDIA specifically, China has historically been a massive market. We're talking potentially billions of dollars in revenue at stake. When you cut off access to one of the largest economies in the world for your flagship product line, that is a significant financial hit. AMD faces similar pressures on their data center GPU business. But here's the hardware angle that I find really fascinating. These restrictions are actually accelerating China's domestic chip development. Companies like Huawei with their Ascend series and a whole ecosystem of Chinese AI chip startups are getting a huge tailwind from this because their domestic customers literally have no other option. So in the long run, U.S. export controls might end up creating a more competitive global AI chip landscape than would have existed otherwise. It's one of those policy decisions where the short-term financial impact on NVIDIA and AMD is real and measurable. But the second and third order effects on the global semiconductor industry are going to play out for years. Something to watch very closely. Okay, story four, this one is really close to my heart because it's about the rise of custom silicon. And according to Tech Times, ASIC shipments for AI are on track to triple the growth rate of GPU shipments in 2026. Let me say that again, triple the growth rate. That is a significant statement. So first, let's make sure we're clear on what an ASIC is. ASIC stands for Application-Specific Integrated Circuit, and the name really does say everything. It's a chip designed to do one specific thing or a narrow range of things extremely well. A GPU, on the other hand, is a general-purpose parallel processor. It was originally designed for graphics, and it turns out its architecture is really well-suited for the matrix math that underpins neural network training and inference. But really well-suited is not the same as perfectly optimized. A custom ASIC designed from the ground up specifically for transformer model inference, for example, can be dramatically more efficient in terms of both performance per watt and cost per inference. Google has been doing this for years with their TPU-S tensor processing units. Google's fourth and fifth generation TPU pods are genuinely competitive with NVIDIA's best offerings for certain workloads. And because Google owns the whole stack hardware, software, and the models, they can co-optimize everything together in a way NVIDIA simply cannot. Amazon has their Trainium and Inferentia chips. Microsoft has been developing their own silicon. Meta has their MTIA chip. The hyperscalers are all in on custom silicon because at the scale they operate, even a small efficiency gain per chip translates to hundreds of millions of dollars in savings. Now, does this mean NVIDIA is doomed? Absolutely not. Custom ASICs are expensive to design. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in R&D before you even tape out your first chip. And they're inflexible if your model architecture changes significantly, your ASIC might become less optimal overnight. GPUs remain the flexible, general-purpose workhorse. But the trend is clear. As AI workloads mature and certain patterns become dominant, custom silicon will capture an increasingly large share of the market. This is one of the most important structural shifts in the AI hardware landscape, and I don't think it gets enough mainstream attention. All right, last story of the day, and it is genuinely wild. CRN is reporting that the U.S. government has indicted three people in what is described as a second NVIDIA AI chip smuggling case. And this one is linked to Supermicro servers. So let me give you some context here, because this sits at the intersection of the export control story we just covered and some pretty serious criminal activity. When high-end AI chips like NVIDIA's H100s are restricted from being exported to certain countries, there's an enormous black market incentive created. These chips sell for tens of thousands of dollars each on the open market, and in restricted regions, they can command significant premiums. The alleged scheme here reportedly involved disguising or misrepresenting the destination or end use of NVIDIA chips, with Supermicro servers apparently being used as part of the pipeline, though I want to be clear. Supermicro as a company has not been charged, and there's no indication of corporate involvement at this point. This is about specific individuals allegedly exploiting the system. But the hardware angle here is really interesting. It speaks to just how valuable these chips are. We've talked about H100s and Blackwell GPUs like their products, but when you start seeing criminal indictments over smuggling them, it drives home that these are strategic assets. Governments treat them that way Militaries want them, and apparently some people are willing to risk federal charges to get them across borders illegally. This is also the second such case, which suggests this isn't isolated. There's likely a broader ecosystem of attempted circumvention happening that we only hear about when indictments drop. For the industry, this reinforces why chip manufacturers and the U.S. government are investing heavily in supply chain tracking and verification systems. There are serious conversations happening about physically marking chips in ways that make them traceable and about tightening the distributor network to reduce leakage points. The semiconductor supply chain, which was already incredibly complex, is now also a national security battleground. That's the world we're in. And that is a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. What a lineup, right? From stock debates to data center funds, export clampdowns, the rise of custom silicon, and actual chip smuggling. This industry never has a dull moment. I'm Skylar Monroe, and this has been the AI Hardware Show, brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. If you got value out of today's episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and share it with someone who geeks out on this stuff as much as we do. There are more of us out there than you'd think. Check the link in show notes for more details on all five stories we covered today. Until next time, keep your thermals low and your bandwidth high.